A French billionaire under investigation for meddling in Africa and Greenland's elections and why the world is watching its mining industry.
Everything is in the Greenlandic subsoil somewhere. There is a rare earth project and there is a rare earth combined with uranium.
Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. We start with Deutsche Bank. Under its newly minted CEO, it announced sweeping cuts to its investment banking division today. The German lender is scaling back operations in the US and Asia to focus on European clients. The BBC's Victoria Craig has more.
After posting a more than 70% plunge in first quarter investment banking profit, Deutsche Bank said it will reduce its footprint in areas where it, quote, no longer has a sustainable competitive advantage. It's a major shift in strategy to strengthen its core European business, which the company says generates, quote, more attractive returns. Deutsche Bank will reduce its footprint in U.S. bond sales and trading and begin a review of its global equities business. The goal, it said, would be to shrink the platform. To meet cost-cutting targets, the moves will come with a, quote, significant reduction to staff in all areas of its corporate and investment banking divisions. Exact figures on the number of job cuts, though, were not revealed. Deutsche Bank said the cuts will likely have a negative impact on 2018 revenues, but improve returns in the medium term. News of the restructuring sent shares of Deutsche Bank slightly higher. The action comes just weeks after the company appointed Christian Saving to CEO. His background in retail banking and auditing hinted at a shift away from investment banking. In London, I'm the BBC's Victoria Craig for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Global stocks are mixed as traders continue to parse first quarter earnings results. European investors are keeping an eye on Frankfurt today, where the European Central Bank will conclude its policy meeting. No change expected on key rates, but markets will look for any change in language after soft data in recent weeks. A French billionaire is under formal investigation for alleged meddling in two African countries, Togo and Guinea. The BBC's Philip Hampshire explains.
Vincent Bellera is worth $4 billion, most of which comes through the Bellera group of companies. It's the single biggest shareholder in Vivendi, for instance, which you will know because it owns Canal Plus, has various other media interests. Bellera Group was originally a family business operating in the paper industry based out of Brittany in France. But over the course of his life, Vincent Bellera has been a much more prestigious businessman, and he's built it up to have media interests, consultancy wings, a construction arm to the firm and also a port operator. And it's the intermingling and mixture of these businesses that have caused their current problems.
What's he accused of?
There were two elections in Africa with different presidents in different countries where the media and political wings of the Bellera Group supplied advice in how to win those elections. What is then being alleged by the French authorities is that those contracts were offered at a subpar price, and so the presidents got an extremely good deal. Then when they won office, the kickback was that they then gave the Bellera group of companies port contracts and other construction contracts as well. It's important to point out that Vincent Bellera and the company deny any wrongdoing, and they say, well, we're a ports-based business, we were going to win those contracts anyway.
Philip Hampshire. Greenland is three times the size of Texas, but with just 56,000 people, and melting Arctic ice is only making its vast mineral wealth more accessible. The votes from this week's election are in, some delivered by dog sleds, and it looks like a coalition government which will need to shift the economy towards mining and maybe full independence from Denmark. Ulrik Pramgad teaches at Aalborg University in Copenhagen and previously worked for Greenland's Department of Foreign Affairs.
There are a couple of very small mines operating at present, one of them a ruby mine. What's interesting are the projects that's upcoming. There is a rare earth project, and there is a rare earth project combined with uranium that's been contentious. And then there is a zinc mine, that probably the one that's closest to opening up.
Greenland achieved self-rule from Denmark in 2009, and then commodity prices slumped. Going forward, there is a link, isn't there, between mining and getting independence.
The Greenlandic economy basically has two pillars. One is an annual subsidy from Denmark, and the other one is the export of shrimp. But to get rid of the subsidies from Denmark, Greenland needs to have something else going as well. Mining is one option. Tourism is another. Vikings who named it Greenland obviously arrived in the southern part of Greenland, where you can actually have agriculture. But to the north, ice is very dominating both on the landscape, but particularly on the water. Particularly disturbing is actually the periods in the middle. The ice is unsafe, so you can either go by sledge or by boat.
Now, many parts of the world, the US and China are vying for influence. Tell us about their presence in Greenland.
China features quite a lot in the imaginations of how to get closer to independence. Greenland really wants to diversify its dependence. One of the most obvious places to look for investment, that's for China. When Greenlanders think about the US, the messages basically come from Copenhagen. So if there is a pressure of some kind from the US regarding Chinese presence, it would be something that would be channeled via Copenhagen. So in that sense, it plays into the post-colonial relation between Greenland and Denmark rather than as a question involving the US directly.
Ulrik Pram Gad. Finally, the Royal Mail here in Britain has been using quotes from Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet on postboxes to encourage letter writing. But as many have pointed out, the letter in the play which could save the two lovers arrives late, prompting their suicide. Not exactly a ringing endorsement for relying on snail mail. In London, I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.